which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
And we also call it White Aryan Resistance. Yeah, this is January the 27th, 2017, and we're right here in the bunker, and it's spitting snow outside, and it's cold, and it's overcast, and not too happy a day. But that's all right. This is Ladies' Day in the bunker. Yeah, Ladies' Day. She-Wolf Day. And we're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And we're right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Weapons of Mass Destruction Used Equipment Yard. Yeah. And we sell gas here, only ethyl and regular. None of that new stuff with the corn in it. Well, back in April the 22nd, 2009, I had a visitor come through here, Dennis Mahon. That's long before he got thrown in the Huskow. And so we did a show, and I've got it here, and I'm going to run the audio on it and see what you think of it.
Calling. Radio Network. This is the Terrible Tommy in the heartland, in the bunker, right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern. Yep. Where they meet to eat, sometimes drink. In fact, I think they drink all the time. Mabel can't keep them under control over there at the bar, but we got to get them out of here to work on our weapons of mass destruction surplus yard out here. Nice day today with the sunshine, over 50 degrees. Supposed to get up to 70 degrees tomorrow. Boy, the boys will be out there in the thongs working on the equipment tomorrow. What do they call those things the French guys wear?
I know they're pretty wild.
That's what they call it, thongs. I think there's another word for it. Anyhow, you ever see those French on the beach over there?
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, anyhow, this is Insurgent Radio Network calling. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And if you should be so inclined, go into your dentist's mom's bedroom and get their bill pulled out, take some money out, and send it to us. Even if they're 90 years old and you're 40. I mean, what the hell? You can use the money. Okay, and it's, we get even crazier than this around here. Anyhow, it's April the 22nd. The show may not be aired on April 22nd, but we're making it on April 22nd. And it's Logan's Day, Wednesday. Yeah, it's 11:35 in the morning. And this is going to be our second show with the Terrible Dentist. You know, the Terrible Tommy, you got Terrible Dennis Mahon here. Star at Spade Screen and Radio, and he likes MP5s?
Oh, the MP5s, something that they
pointed at. He loves to have them pointed at him, because he's having them pointed at him all over the world. And I welcome you back to the second show, Dennis, and I know he'd come over here, he's going to wheel on back to the land of that Arab Lincoln over there pretty soon, huh?
Oh, God.
But I want you to promise me to come back here in a month or so. I want you to put on Race and Reason TV show.
That'd be great, Tom. I appreciate the introduction there. Yeah, it's good to be back in the bunker with you here in Warsaw, Indiana. It's nice to get away from the Chicago area. By the way, I want to hope you all had a real good Holocaust Memorial Day yesterday. Yeah, I was all over the Jews media and talking about those poor 6 trillion Jews. Was it a trillion or billion?
Well, so it's probably up to a trillion now.
Yeah, up to 6 trillion survivors too. Yeah,
well, hell yes, and now they got the great-great-grandsons and daughters of the Holocaust now, too, so we got to pray for them, too.
Well, you know, it's just go ahead, all of them, go ahead, go to the God, give it to Hitler, too, and go back.
Hey, we got to thank Jew Frank Holland, who ran the Nazi Party, you know. The Nazis don't want to talk about that too much. Up there in Chicago, turned out to be a Jew, and he started the whole mess. There was not hardly any talk about the Holocaust crap until that happened. He wanted to march. Said he wanted to march in Skokie, and then he figured out on the deal after he got the okay to march in Skokie, he didn't do it. So I'm suspicious, but everything started then. That's when all the Holocaust movies started and everything. Spielberg got into it and everything, and now they've got the fourth largest Holocaust Disneyland up there in Chicago, Skokie, that's in the country. They raised, I think, millions of dollars off that. So thank the Hollywood Nazi, Jew Nazi, Frank Colin Cohen for that. And that'll teach you. Sometimes people fly under very false colors to get a job done. He was probably an agent of the ADL the whole time.
Well, you know, Tom, the Shoah must go on.
Oh, yes.
And the Shoah is big business. I mean, it's the Holocaust industry. I don't know how. They must have already built the poor Gentile nations of $1 billion.
They even built their own people. They even built their own people out of
it. Well, look at Madoff. Old Madoff. They got some Jew with the synagogue with these other Jews in the West Palm Beach. And they go to his birthday party and rip them off for the $250 billion. I mean, you could buy a small country with that kind of money.
Madoff could have put, he could have given every Jew that's living below the poverty line, which is about a quarter of a million in New York City, he could have bought them all new houses and had plenty of money left.
You know, they could have lived in the Hamptons. That's right. You know, it's kind of an irony of nature or the humor of the gods or whatever, but you think about the guy named Madoff. I mean, you know, what a good name for it. I mean, I'm not going to deal with a guy named Madoff. And also, there was a Christian preacher named Swindoll, Charles Swindoll. That would be a good name for me. He was a car salesman, but a preacher named Charles Swindoll. I think they spelled the last syllable.
You know what's really amazing is you can fool people so long, so many people so long. Like, it wouldn't have been that hard. There's been plenty of guys that testified that it wouldn't have taken much investigation at all to uncover the Madoff scam. But they didn't do it because once you get that power and inertia going and that much money, people just say, well, oh, it's got to be legitimate or he wouldn't have that much money.
Well, it's the greed of the people. There were several stockbrokers who tried to do the same thing that Madoff did, and they could only produce about half the amount of returns. So several of these...
half of 40 billion is plenty.
You think a billion would be enough. But anyway, several of these guys went to the SEC.
Yeah.
And complained about them. And of course, under George W. Bush, the free market hands off, let them do anything they want. That's what happened. But now there's another... I'm trying to talk about these guys' names. I mean, think about Eli Wiesel. I mean, what a great name for a guy making the money of the Holocaust. How many concentration camps did he survive in? Was it five or six of them, I think?
Probably, yeah.
Nobody ever asked him, how did you survive all these concentration camps, these death camps?
Well, probably had a special suite, you know,
with
hot and cold running Jew girls, you know.
And I thought the Germans were good, you know. I mean, they let so many of these people survive. I mean, what's wrong with you guys?
Yeah, I've been getting a question the whole damn thing, you know, that especially the way the Germans act today. I mean, they act like a bunch of cowards today, and they won't even let a guy say Nazi or have a Nazi flag or a Nazi ring or a Nazi dagger or anything. Yet today, they put you in prison.
Oh, God, you must be really sad about this. I'm an avid model airplane builder. And in the 50s, and even in the 60s, you could buy a German fighter planes, BF-109 Messerschmitt and Stukas, and they don't have decals with the swastika. And the box art would have the German aircraft with a swastika on the tail.
Yeah.
Well, come around about the late, maybe 69, 70, all of a sudden the Jews got upset over the swastika. Well, if you're going to build a model airplane, it's got to be, you know, exact. You've got to have a swastika. So if they're just afraid to even have a swastika on a model airplane, What is it with these
people?
Well,
in a way, that's a very strong compliment for the swastika. And I certainly, I'm not a member of the Nazi Party. I've never been a member of the Nazi Party because there's never been really a Nazi Party in this country to speak of. You know, not they didn't run for office in most cases and like that. But I will say that that swastika has tremendous power, and I think it's almost mystical power the swastika has, because it's a symbol of the sun. A lot of people don't realize that, and I revere the All Father's Son, because that's the closest thing we can get to any kind of super duper maker and creator, as far as I'm concerned. And when that sun goes out, believe me, it's all over.
But Tom, even the Milky Way, our galaxy, if you look at it, it's almost shaped like a rounded swastika. Think about it.
There's a lot of things in nature and so forth. And, you know, I see a lot of things, a lot of symbols that companies make that are very close to a swastika. I was showing my gal the other day, it was some outfit that was advertising something, and they had it, and it was a swastika, but it was each quarter of it was fat, and a quick glance, it looked like a square. But looking close, it's a swastika, and they don't even realize it.
There's some clothes, outerwear, company, I forget the name of them, but if you look at their symbol, I mean, it is a swastika on top of these, like four swastikas together.
Yeah.
It makes a square, but if you look at those four swastikas together, it's obvious.
Now, you know, too, also in the looking up in the sky, like you were talking about, those rounded swirl type things, that's a swastika. See, actually, this swastika is the one they use is too squared off.
Right.
The real swastika is rounded, you know, which you can look up in the sky a lot of times and see that.
Well, like you said before, if you got some Mexican putting graffiti up on your building or your fence, just go and put a nice, about a 4-inch roller or a 3-inch paint roller, put a real good professional swastika there, and I guarantee you, we'll take care of that problem real quick and paint over it.
I've seen that happen in L.A. I mean, in fact, one of our guys gave the guy that owned the business the clue. The Mexicans were writing all over his building, and he said, well, go out there and put a swastika on when nobody's watching. Next day, they were down there and painted almost the whole building, the city did, you know. So if you want an old painted-up building taken care of, just don't get caught at it, but put a swastika on it, even if it's your... You know, they'd probably take you to jail for putting a swastika on your own building, maybe. I mean, you know.
Well, the Jews do it to their synagogues all the time.
Oh, yeah. They raise a lot of money. And then if you burn down a synagogue, they've got it insured for five times what it's worth.
Yeah.
You know, so these guys that go out, these half-baked Hollywood types, and or, you know, in their favor, they see all this bullshit on TV and in the movies. They're not learning it from the real Nazis and the Klan, or they shouldn't be, but they see this shit in the movies, and they say, well, I'm going to go out and do that. That's where most of this stuff comes from. It's mimicking what they see in the movies and painting up. So, I mean, there's a whole book on it by that fellow in Kansas City that is at the university there, a whole book on stories about the Jews actually painting up their own building and so forth and getting even with their neighbors. And of course, the niggers caught on to that game, but they always get caught. The niggers, they always say, well, they put a KKK on my door. It's horrible. And everybody, hundreds of, they have big get-togethers, and oh, my God, it's horrible. And then they find out the person did it themselves. But they never really punish a bunch. You notice that?
No, they never really get. No, because you get false arrest early out, false police report.
Right. So,
anyway, yes, you got a nigger in Chicago that killed his white, evidently his white girlfriend. Broke up with him, and he went ballistic and took a knife and carved up her mother. I believe her father and her sister.
Killed them all, but they all were for race mixing.
Well, yeah, but
they're all for equality. They all loved it. Yeah, and those people, if they were on a jury, and you and I were in the dock as the defendants, they would find us guilty right down the line of being terrible racists, you know?
Well, one thing
you got to understand that. most of these white people get in a jury that you think, well, I should try to save them. They're the ones that are going to hammer you.
That's why you got to be real careful. When you see a nigger beating up a white woman, you don't get involved with that because obviously their boyfriend and girlfriend are maybe married to each other. And if you do take action against a nigger and hurt him real bad or kill him, then guess what? She'll probably testify against you.
Yes, she will.
And they're going to find out you were a racist. And you know, I don't care if the guy came have to beat her to death.
Yeah.
They're going to hammer you. So
yeah.
Let the nigger beat up the white bitch. Now, you think they learned from O.J. Simpson in this situation? It was in the news for, what, a year? Back in 81, when I was in Florida, there was a nigger by the name of Roosevelt Cure. C-U-R-E, Roosevelt Kill.
Only nigger parents would call a kid that.
But anyway, they were 17, and he was dating her, and the girl's grandmother raised all kinds of hell with him. He said, you got to get away from this damn nigger, and nigger, why don't you find a wife? I said, you're a black guy, find a black girl. I don't want you dating her. And anyway, the girl and the nigger got together and got a couple baseball bats, and they killed his grandmother to beat her to death. And that made big news down there. But you ever notice, Tom, like every 10 years, like, or maybe 10 to 15, you won't see hardly 80 whites with niggers. Then all of a sudden, like 10 years, it's a cycle. It all takes one. Now that we got a half-breed nigger in the White House,
that's giving them total carte blanche. Well, the president's a nigger. Why can't I date a nigger daddy? You know, or Washington Jones down there, he's a halfback on the football team, and he's making $50 million a year. Are you crazy? He's equal. I want to date that baboon. I mean that nice gentleman, that Harry Belafonte guy.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I remember that. Well, Tom, this morning, just traveling to the restaurant to eat breakfast, we stopped by a post office there. Why do we see? But a fairly attractive white woman, I guess in her 30s. She's tagging on a little, maybe a year and a half year old, looked like a purebred little nigger baby.
Looked like a monkey to me.
They look like a little monkey, but you know, here she is, pampering. You didn't see this, but a white guy passed her up in his 30s or 40s.
Yeah.
You know, he got down, hit the little nigger boy in the head, smiled at her, smiled at him. I just threw up. And then she put her to a car, and on the back window was a cross with a little kid kneeling to it.
Yeah, big cross.
So here's another crazy Christian.
Well, you didn't hear what I did. When I got up next to her, I said, oh, shit. And then when I passed her, I could, like I was getting sick. So she knew what was going on, you know.
Yeah, and I yelled out in the window of the truck in their direction. I said, no pride, something like that. No pride, no shame.
You know, I think the white guy you're talking about was also a big Christian because he had a whole box full of these mailers that he was going in there. And that's what, you know, you get a whole bunch of these people from the churches mail out these schedules to their people. And I bet you anything, that guy was a Christian. Christian Zionist probably too, you know. So
go up, fleece the sheep some more.
Anyway, I don't know how you guys can still remain Christians if you're out there. I mean, some of you still are and you're hanging in there, but it's it's like serving two masters. I mean, the Christian religion is totally into equality, and they're totally into attacking white racial people who want to be separate. They preach about it. They have big meetings about it. And they got the international deal over there in Durban, South Africa, going on right now to stamp out racism. But that's not necessarily Christians, but it's everybody, all the non-whites ganging up, you know. But the question is, how can you justify remaining a Christian? To me, the Christian religion is now equal to being one of our greatest enemies. I think it's more dangerous to us than the Jews themselves. Because the Jews couldn't, there's not enough of them to have infiltrated and caused all this trouble. I mean, they pushed this stuff, some of them joined in the civil rights, but it took a lot more than the Jews to get this going.
Yeah, it's really strange, Thomas. They always preach this, but if you look at most, at least the churches and the affluent areas, they're all whites. They all live, you know, I mean, they all live in areas that have $300,000 homes.
Right.
You know, if I won the lottery, I would buy a home right in the middle of it, and I would get the most dangerous street niggers in Chicago Heights. Put them in there, but they preach it, and they're hurting the average working class by pushing this. But for themselves, I guarantee you, if a bootlip nigger bitch with 10 crazy kids moved in next door, they would panic so fast to make their heads spin.
Well, like I've said, told many times on the show about the time that there was this area in La Jolla, California, which is where all the rich bastards live, or a lot of them, and I took a sign, had a sign professionally painted up, and put it on the corner of a real, well, highly trafficked street there, put on it the new home of low housing development, you know. And the shit hit the fan like you wouldn't believe it, man. And I'm telling you, those rich bastards, they didn't want any of that low-income housing in their neighborhood. You put that down into the white working-class neighborhoods, you know. Those are the kinds of things you can do out there, boys and girls, too. Put these signs up outside of town. We love Mexicans. Plenty of jobs for Mexicans, our brother Mexicans, and stuff like that. And anytime you see one of their posters up, that you got a felt pen put on there. We love Mexicans. Plenty of jobs for Mexicans. Things like that. You know, don't put that's sort of that's black propaganda. White propaganda, it doesn't work too good. That's where you just try to explain to people the problem logically and intellectually, and they don't even give a shit. But if you put out some, like if you're out on a work site in a construction job, and you go in that crapper and you paint up in there, kill Whitey, kill that motherfucker, and
La Raza,
you need it, and all that stuff.
Then
you go in there, and the next time, you'll see all these white guys have written all over the place, fuck you, niggers, fuck you, Mexicans. So you use reverse propaganda. It's the best type of propaganda.
And you know, it's a place that you can get posters printed up pretty professionally. Pick a big manufacturer in your town that's still there, and put down, like Sunstrand Manufacturing or Johansson Metalworks, now hiring. Hispanics preferred.
Right.
I mean, you know, or Latinos preferred, but, you know, and hold that up along the highway. And,
or get some decals made, no whites allowed, on a sticker, and put on the front of a restaurant, you know.
Anglos go home.
It's going to be there a while, you know, and it'll cause all kinds of trouble. That, I get much more yardage out of that kind of propaganda than I do out of trying to intellectually convert these people, because that's a waste of time.
I was at a phone booth once. There's very few of them left, of course, and somebody put down, gringo, speak Spanish or get out.
Well, not even Spanish, because Spanish is really a white man's language. These people don't even speak good Spanish, and some of them can't even speak Spanish at all. You're talking about some real gutter snipes coming up here. I mean, these people are primitive, very primitive, and they're not even mestizos anymore. They're flat out Indians.
Well, that's
and they're not even Indians, because they don't have a dot on their head.
That's right.
I refuse to call an Indian here in this country. They're Mongoloids that came over here. We've been here a long time too. Whites have come here. Asians have come here. Probably even blacks got drunk and fell on a raft and floated in here one time or another too. So this shit about Native Americans drives me up the wall. And most of the tribes now, the leaders are white.
Absolutely.
I've seen them blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white guy. I'm an Indian.
Well, in Oklahoma, where I lived for almost 10 years, you can get an Indian card for about $200 or $300. I mean, they take bribes all the time. You see blonde, blue-eyed people. Well, hey, I'm half Cherokee. I'm one quarter Cherokee or Crete or, and you know. They're in it for the money, because they get tax breaks on it. They can buy a car. No sales tax. They get the Indian medical card, free medical. I mean, of course.
Well, some of these white guys try to marry into the Indians and get on the reservation, and they give them so much money, especially now that they got the gambling casinos where they're giving every Indian maybe $40,000 and a house and a car and everything to kick it off, and then just tell them stay home and we, the Jews will run the casino, we'll just give you some money. So a lot of some of these white druggies and white trash will marry an Indian broad, or the opposite, a girl will marry an Indian guy just to get their fingers in some of the cash.
Sure. Well, the thing is, I mean, unfortunately, you know, Oklahoma is so bad that every dollar that the federal government gets in income tax and federal excise tax, for every dollar that goes to the federal government, Oklahoma gets $1.50 back. So all you white working states around the country are supporting. And I think Mississippi is about the same way. There's about three or four states.
Well, if you're living in Oklahoma, and I know Oklahoma City is horrible too, if you're living in Oklahoma, you should start putting these radical pro-Indian signs up. You know, drive Whitey out, take our land back, get the tomahawks, let's cut their heads off, scalp them. Anything you can do to attack. That's the way to do it. Say,
sure,
you know, just get right out there. We're taking over and screw you. Don't try to talk to these white people intellectually because they don't understand. And so many of them are undereducated and even throwbacks physically, too. You know, I got one guy calls in here from Oklahoma City that tells me these horrible stories, and he about goes crazy. I mean, I think he's right on the edge of blowing his top. Then a guy told me out in California there was a radio talk show that if you're living in Colorado, that if you're 132nd Indian, now how the hell are you going to prove that?
That's it right there.
They give you a free college education and stuff. I mean,
and how are they going to prove that?
They
can't prove it.
Well, look at those Indians up in the Northeast, that tribe started with a P, I think, but they were supposedly, and they finally established they were a tribe, and then they started a gambling casino up there, and they had all these niggers coming in and stuff from all over New York City and stuff, and claiming they're Indians, and they start out by giving you about 10-20 grand, you know, and they phone you up and forge papers and everything else. There's a stone ape nigger claiming he's an Indian.
I'm an Indian man.
And they get away with it. Yeah, I'm the Indian.
Hey, now you know I'm an Indian man.
Well, you'd think the Indians would raise
a nigger. Oh, man, I think so.
Yeah, because the Indians used to have plantations, you know. They had Indians that were big into slavery down in Georgia and around, you know. I don't know. Blacks never seemed to want to talk about that.
None at all.
Just whitey. And the Arabs, they had slaves. They still have slaves over there in the Sudan. But they don't talk about that. That just proves to you that the war is simply to get rid of whitey. And whitey, they don't understand. Whitey's the goose that laid the gold egg.
Doggone right.
No matter where whitey goes, these people follow him. These Untermenschen, or whatever you want to call them. You could go to the Arctic Circle and start a hamburger stand, and the first thing you know, they'd have a line out there of niggers with welfare checks and food stamps wanting to get served. I swear, anywhere a white person goes, these non-whites will follow, especially the niggers, because they know that there's going to be a runoff. The whites know how to build things, how to make money, how to start businesses, and there'll be, you know, it's like the old caravans back in the old days in North Africa, where the warriors and the gangs would lay along the side and attack them and take their stuff. Well, that, you know, the niggers want to follow whitey around so they can get his goodies, you know.
The problem is there's not enough of us left.
There's plenty left to wipe out every non-white in the world, let me tell you. If we wanted to use our technology, we could eliminate every non-white in the world.
We could, Tom.
If we had the will.
But I'm talking about as far as living off the white man. I mean, if we don't wipe them out, they're going to wipe us.
Well, the white man likes it because of his greed. You know, he'd rather hire a stupid nigger that will work real cheap than hire an intelligent white man and pay him the right price. I mean, you know.
Well, one thing they're having a problem, though, with the mestizo workers. You know, they work cheap, but they have to be constantly supervised, at least the majority of them. There have been some real nightmare cases of Mexicans putting up drywall that are driving the drywall screws right to the damn plumbing and the electrical wires. And the damn shoe box cracks within about 6 months.
Out there in California, they got million-dollar houses out there. That was before the drop in prices, but they had million-dollar houses out there that were falling to pieces before people even moved into them, that were put together by all these Mexicans. The concrete was splitting. They come through and build a house, and they didn't have to put the windows in. And for weeks, they'd be sitting there with rain and dirt and everything going into windows and everything. I mean, it's these things will be,
ruins?
They'll be in ruins, or, yes. They'll be, like where the niggers live,
slums?
Yeah. Before they get the mortgage paid, these are places are going to be slums,
Well, our family farmhouse is over 100 years old, and it's built like a tank. The roof is actually 2x12-inch planks, where these new million-dollar homes have fiberboard, which is, as cheap as I get. I don't feel sorry for these super rich that want to build a $400,000 home or fiber. I will hope the damn place falls down on top of them.
Well, what's this composition stuff? Were the chips of plywood are glued together? What is that called?
Well, it's fiberboard and wafer board.
Yeah, well, that shit gets wet. It just falls apart.
Oh, yeah.
And most houses are building with that now.
You better hope it's got a good roof on it, because if it gets a leak, you're going to have some major expenses there.
Yeah. Well, what always thought about would be wonderful, to be able not just to go back, but once we clean out Chicago and go down there to the south side where all those big mansions are that are full of niggers now, but they haven't destroyed, they can't destroy them because they're built out of stone and rock.
Right.
And they can rip the plaster, they can do things, but these are salvageable. Back in the day, when you could live in a beautiful home, nice, quiet, no crime streets, you can walk down the street and there are parks everywhere, you got the museums in Chicago, you got the lakes there and everything, and there's nothing wrong with these cities that couldn't be straightened out. And you'd like to live there, because a lot of times, intellectually, it's more rewarding to live in a big city. Like back in the 50s, I was in New York City, and it was really nice, It wasn't perfect, but it was nice. Well, now nobody wants to live in New York City unless you're in a protected area,
Gated community.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, getting back to Oklahoma, there's already 3 million people in Oklahoma. And 300,000 people have a major gambling habit. Oklahoma has over 90 casinos now. And some of these are small casinos on Indian land.
Yeah.
But when you think about 300,000 people with major gambling problems, and it's just Oklahoma's like being on a different planet.
Well, if I had the power, I would make a law that you can't spend your money gambling if you're getting Social Security.
Right.
And you've got to take drug tests and everything else. That
would be
the way to do it, because you're right, and it's the working class and the working poor, or just the poor out of work, that are always gambling. They're gambling as fast as they get a welfare check or a Social Security check. They're in there spending their money in a gambling machine, and the Jews are mostly, they say Indian all they want, but in the back room you got Jews,
Sure. Oklahoma did pass this bill, and signed by the governor, of 1804, to make it illegal to rent or sell a house or to hire or to harbor an illegal alien. That was almost a year ago, and they haven't arrested one yet. Totally toothless law. Now, there is a bill right now, I forget the number of it, to make English the official language of Oklahoma. But, it's better.
That won't solve anything.
That won't solve anything, but it just, the average working class white person, even Indian in Oklahoma, is getting sick. And a lot of Mexicans did move out when they first passed the bill. But now they're coming back because they know it's not being enforced.
Well, actually, that makes it worse, because the faster a Mexican can learn English, the faster he's going to get your job.
That's it. Indeed, our women, too.
And, I like bilingual education where they had separate classes for the Mexicans and Spanish. You don't want these people learning English because that's when they take your job, your daughter, and everything else, you know. So that's a stupid conservative right wing is big time behind that. Now, up here in Wisconsin, recently, they passed a law where the cops, ordinance where the cops are supposed to grab these illegal aliens. And the chief of police won't do it. And I said, wait a minute, he's not elected, he's hired. Fire that son of a bitch and put a chief of police in, it'll do the job. You know, since when could a chief of police tell the city council what he's going to do, what he ain't going to do?
I mean, out the door, man, out the door.
Yeah.
Well, it's like all these bankers, evidently, you know, Bush and Obama have basically, you know, we own Citibank and AIG, excuse me.
AIG.
Yeah.
The IGA, that was a grocery store.
That's right, that's right. since we basically taxpayers own these big banks that are ripping us off, why the hell do they fire every CEO and every major executive? There's all kinds of small bankers that know how to run a bank. If Obama were to fire all these, I'm getting off the subject a little bit here, Tom, but,
sure.
But you know, it's time to fire all these guys and expunge their wealth.
Well, they should, you know what they should have done with all those billions of dollars they put into the banks? They should have created a commission like FHA or something, National Bank, and loan it directly to the public.
At very low interest.
Very low interest.
You betcha.
Water, they should have gone totally around the bankers, you know?
Or else, give every citizen, taxpayer, that filed a tax return in the last 2 years, federal tax return, maybe $4,000 or $5,000, because see, the bankers don't want. See, we use some of that money to pay off our credit card debts.
Sure.
But see, the bankers don't want that. They want to keep us in debt, and they want to keep all these immigrants coming in here, before they can load them down with debt.
Debt is slavery. No matter what, I don't care if your country's all white. Debt is slavery. Once they get you far enough in debt, they've got you by the Grenoise, man, they got you, because you can't make a move, they can destroy you, and then taxes is the other way they can get you. So white people went for that hook, line, and sinker, the old Jewish credit bit, you know.
That's sort of sad, right?
Well, anyhow, how many are we going to have to kill to straighten this out?
Well, I tell you what,
because it ain't going to be voted on, I'll tell you that.
There's not enough rope in the country to hang them all.
No, that's too slow.
But
it's way too slow.
22s are still cheap. You can buy a box of 500 for about $15. And, you know, 22 in the back of the neck or the back of the head will do the job. But
I guess the Germans would have saved a lot of money if they'd used 22.
That's right. Absolutely.
I mean, all that gas and stuff for those so-called crematoriums and all that, and housing all those people. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, took a lot from the war effort.
Yeah. So I don't know. Well, Tom,
I'd like to talk about something that really bothers me about the state, well, not just the mental state of our people, which I think...
But there isn't any mental state.
That's right, there's no mental state. But the health of... you know, I went to a gun show recently in Rockford, Illinois, and it was crowded. I mean, damn near walking room, I mean, standing room only with somebody, but I would say 80% of the men... Oh, we're 40 to 50 in age. All of them. I mean, 80% of them, maybe 90%, were 250, 350 pounders, maybe 400 pounders.
Yeah.
And they're buying the big guns, the assault rifles. I was just thinking, these guys couldn't even run 50 feet and they'd keel over. But this obesity thing, ladies and gentlemen, if you know, and a lot of people that believe that we do are terrible, terribly overweight, and their kids are overweight. And if we don't do something about this, it don't take much. Just change, just get more exercise, start a garden, quit eating all these fatty foods and sugary foods. But Tom, what do you think?
Well, it's in the food and in the drinks. It's these people. If you look at most of these women that weigh so much weight and say are 30s and 40s, if you go back and look at their high school, college pictures, they're petite, good-looking girls. But I'll tell you, it's got to be in the soft drinks and in the fast food and all that stuff. and no exercise. You know, they want to drive every place. You know, there'll be a store here and a store 50 feet away, and they'll start their car up and drive over there that 50 feet. I mean, nobody wants to walk or anything. And if you don't, you've got to get completely off of these soft drinks, because that's got that phony sugar in it. And that's
corn syrup sugar.
Yeah, well, no, there's that other stuff. I forget what they call it. Aspartame.
Yeah.
And that's a killer, and it may cause more than just getting fat. And, I mean, there's a definite simple answer to why everybody, so many people are getting so fat. And it's fast food and it's soft drinks and things like that. And candy. Do you notice?
Jesus.
In drugstores, where it used to be just drugs and things like that, now they got aisles and aisles of candy. Every store has got aisles and aisles of candy. And I see these people filling up their grocery carts with candy, and pop. I mean, you go to the market and you see them hauling out cases of soft drinks.
Yeah, cases.
And so it's very simple. If people would just do one thing, don't ever drink a soft drink again, and quit going to fast food restaurants, and just slow down a little bit on the meat take and like that, and they would naturally get thinner, you know?
Well, the one thing about the end of the oil age, when we start having terrible oil shortages, we'll be able gas would be $10 a gallon.
I wish there was.
They're going to have to start walking some more.
I wish there was no oil at all right now.
Wouldn't that
be funny? I mean, that would be cosmically funny, because everything would change overnight. Everything that we consider to be we have considered to be bad, and oh my God, I got to walk and just like that. There would be thousands of people walking for miles just to go to a place to get food at the grocery store. I mean, you wouldn't see all this traffic. You wouldn't have to have all these super highways, because, you know, and that would be good. That would be good for the race, because these others, they won't know what to do. They'll just try to leave the country and go back to where they came from if they got any oil there or whatever, you know, because everybody comes into this country, buys at least one or two cars burning oil. So, my friends are piss me off when they say, oh, well, there's plenty of oil because it's not the dinosaurs, it's not the vegetation that caused the oil, it's down in the ground. I said, don't tell me that. Don't tell me we're going to not run out of oil. We have to run out of oil. I don't think we've got a chance in hell of surviving for 100 years, the white race, unless we run out of oil.
Absolutely. Well, one thing, even if you don't run out, it's going to be very, very expensive.
Well, only the very super rich will be able to. Sure, there's always going to be some oil, but only the super rich will be able to afford it. Well, let them get fat and die.
Sure, they deserve it. You know, like we've had this this Green Environmental Day. What was it? Earth Day, was it?
Yeah.
2 days ago, I guess it was. Oh, anyway, in all the news, newspapers, the radio, about how we can use paper bags instead of plastic ones, and get this natural cleaner and little tidbits here and there, but. You know, I was on the radio a few times in Rockford. They said, look, it doesn't matter what we do to help the environment. It's not going to do any good, because you have 2 to 3, maybe 4 million people, mostly third worlders, south of the border, coming to this country every year. And they're using up our energy and our oil and filling up our landfills and stressing everything else out, the water systems and so forth. I think I talked about that yesterday, but they can't see it. I mean, folks, you know what insanity is? Insanity is this. You've got a plugged up sink in your kitchen, and the faucet's on, and it's going all over the floor, and here you've got a mop and a bucket. You're trying to keep ahead of it instead of turning the spigot off. Tom, I don't know what it is. What is it with these environmentalists? Now, some of them are starting to realize.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's all hypocrisy, phony bullshit, and follow the leader, like this earth warming scam that's going on. That's a way to further screw the United States. But it's just not a reality. It's not true. People are making millions off of it. You go to one of these Earth Day deals, and if they showed pictures of the place where they all gathered, like in Washington, D.C. or whatever, take a picture of it the next morning. And you see nothing but garbage everywhere. When those niggers gathered together and all these white, stupid people gather together for Obama's inauguration. You should have seen the tons of garbage they hauled out of there. And these people are all saying, well, I'm all for being green and conserving and everything. And then also the people cutting down the trees all the time. I even see it around here. I grit my teeth every time I see them cut a tree down because you need more and more trees, you know.
Well, what's some good news, Tom? There's so many newspapers going broke that we're going to be saving tens of thousands of trees because they won't need to cut them down for newspapers.
Well, I forget how much, how many trees it takes to put out one issue of the New York Times, but it was thousands of trees, you know.
And, well, I think they're going broke, aren't they? I mean,
well, hopefully, and I'm going to get even with all the guys who said bad things about me. The Oregon paper, one of them, the big ones, has gone broke. One of them really gave me a lot of trouble during the trial up there, and now the Chicago Tribune, another Jew-owned paper, they're gone broke, and so I'm thrilled to death to see these newspapers go broke.
Well, there's been hundreds of them. The Denver, not the Post, well, the biggest newspaper, I think the only newspaper in Denver is going broke.
Good. Yeah. Well, we don't need them with the Internet. With the Internet, you don't need newspapers. Newspapers are a thing of the past. They say, well, you're not going to get your news straight if you're just going to blogs. Well, we don't get the news straight now. We haven't for 100 years. I mean, you know, so.
It reminds me of these. I still get tons and tons of appeals from conservative groups, even though I don't. And I send them a hardcore racial separate insurgent literature.
Yeah.
And they still do.
Yeah.
But, and they're always trying, well, save America's sovereignty.
Yeah.
You know, we got to stop the UN. Well, folks,
right.
We've already lost our sovereignty. Our country totally controlled by international banks and corporations.
We lost sovereignty at the time of the Civil War.
Yeah, you betcha.
Because when you don't have the right to secede from the Union, you've lost your freedom.
Good old King Emperor Lincoln. Everybody praises this bastard. I tell you, I don't agree with Jefferson Davis either, but that goddamn Lincoln.
Well, at least Jefferson wanted to fight on. Jefferson Davis wanted to fight on. It was Lee that just wanted to surrender. Jefferson Davis wanted to fight on with a guerrilla war. Well, if they'd have fought a guerrilla war from the beginning, the South would have won. No problem.
Well, Jeff Stewart and Forrest Gump. Named after him.
Okay.
But both General Forrest and Jeff Stewart wanted to fight a guerrilla war.
Sure. Well,
but we lost 600,000 men.
Well, look what Forrest accomplished with only the number of men he had. He had the enemy always convinced he had 10 times the amount he had. He used to go, when he attacked Fort Pillow down there, and which got him into trouble, they said he went in and executed niggers. Well, they were Union soldiers. He was in the war. Of course, he shot them.
Sure.
Well, anyhow, on the other side of the river, he had, I don't know how many he had, 100 guys on horses or something, but they kept going around in a circle on the other side of the river. And the Union people thought that he was bringing in reinforcements. They thought he had a whole big army over there across the river, and they surrendered.
he was a genius, but...
Well, he did that in North Africa, too. You know, the whole French army surrendered to the British.
Let me talk about it.
The British went around with a small force, pulled trees and stuff behind them, made big dust clouds, and had some of those inflatable tanks and stuff. They captured 7,000 Italians.
Well, you know, Italians, you can always tell them.
Now, don't say anything bad about Italians. We got a lot of Italians.
Well, I'm not talking about Mussolini, but some of the soldiers, that they fired the gun. All the rifles were never fired.
Incidentally, what does this look like?
Mussolini! Metzgers are ears of Mussolini.
I'm a reincarnation of Mussolini. Yeah.
Well, if you ever have a movie about him, I want a picture of your casting. But anyway.
Yeah, baby.
I lost my train of thought, Tom. My train got derailed.
Hey, look, I'm 71. My train's been off the track for years.
Oh, here it is, folks. They make a big thing how great Lincoln was, but we lost 600,000. But we never recovered from that genetically, Tom.
No, we never have. The South sure did.
Oh, man. But
not to pick on the South, but you got to face it, the tremendous death rate of Southern soldiers. I mean, the North had a continuous new blood coming in from Europe from the failed revolution of 1848. they had all these people fleeing that coming into the country. So they had all these Irish and Germans and Polish and English, and they're all coming in here. So they had an unending amount of troops. And the genetic material replaced itself sort of there. But in the South, they didn't have that. And so it really damaged the gene pool.
Well, and plus we got World War One, which killed off, 300,000 of our best of our race in this country. And
well,
World
War Two, over there, they had a million guys died in one battle over there in World War One. A million guys.
You know, folks, it is the Jews and the corporations who love these wars. They love war because, what was it, that famous general that wrote a book called War is a Racket?
Right.
Not just an orgy of money, it's an orgy of blood.
Yeah.
And these damn Christian preachers up there in the North going in, you got to kill these Southerners because they got slaves.
Yeah, and the biggest, most powerful bunch of Jews in the country were not in New York City. They were in Chicago, Illinois.
You bet.
Yeah, that's where the big guys that were pushing the war were at. Interestingly enough, Indiana was had a real strong pro-South bunch in here, and they had a lot of not only open supporters in the South, but they had a lot of spies and everything else. Indianapolis was a nest of pro-Southern activity during the war. So a lot of these Southern guys don't give a lot of the Northern guys credit for the things they did. A hell of a lot of Northerners went south to fight alongside the Confederates.
Well, that movie, The Gangs of New York, showed the fact that New York City was actually, New York City had a big riot, against the draft.
The draft riot.
And if Northern folks, you don't realize this, but it's true that Northern Union battleships shelled Americans indiscriminately in New York City.
Yeah, the thing started was you could buy your way out and go into the Civil War.
That's it.
For $100 back then was quite a bit of money. All the richer kids in the upper middle class were buying their kids out of the war, and the poor class had to fight it. The poor class said, we're not fighting this damn war for the niggers.
Right.
We're not fighting it. Let them fight it, you know. So then they tore New York City to pieces.
I'll never forget in that movie when one of the guys threw it down. Lincoln's head, a poster or something. A guy threw a knife at a guy right in the forehead.
Yeah.
But you know, it's what's really sad again is these Christian anti-abolitionist preachers all through the North preaching war, kill, even though they also not kills in their Bible. But slavery is all. Yeah. You know, if the people would just read their damn Bibles, they'd find out that their Jewish God, Jehovah, Yahweh, he approved of slavery all through the Old Testament.
Well, sure
he approved of the Jews having, Jews and Israelites having slaves. And then in the New Testament, I'll never forget this.
God had a change of heart all of a sudden, and then they came out with the New Testament.
Yeah, I thought God changes not, but all of a sudden the Apostle Saul, who was a woman hater, by the way, he actually said, someplace in Romans, I believe, be a good slave to your master.
Yeah.
Remember that? You son of a bitch.
Well, there's several places in the Bible that talks about that. It didn't say that Jesus didn't say, I come to get rid of slavery, you know?
Yeah.
Even though it was the dumbest thing we ever did is to import all those niggers into this country. And like I've said many times, if I'd have been living at the time, I would have had an underground guerrilla army and we would have sunk those ships coming in right in the harbor. We'd had ships going out and turn them around. We don't want niggers here. We'll do our own weeding and planting the cotton.
I admit if we would have had a pagan, I don't think if we were pagans at that time, we would have allowed it. But
No. Well, no. The Christians started changing real fast. Whenever the Christian church sees a handwriting on the wall, like the Mormon church, suddenly they go into a room and God speaks to them. They come out. Talk to God. We got to let the niggers in the church now. it's so obvious to anybody that's got a brain to see how religion manipulates the masses.
Well, I think there's a bumper sticker. I think I mentioned it yesterday, but I saw it going to Valparaiso, Indiana.
Yeah.
And, science put man on the moon. Religion flies planes into buildings.
Yeah.
You've got the wrong religion. I'm going to kill you.
I like to see a billboard around like that. You know, they are putting up some.
Yeah, freedom from religion.
Yeah, they're putting out quite a number of billboards I've seen.
Hey, but, you know, I've asked these Mormons one another subject. Whatever happened to the two golden tablets?
Where are the goggles that he used to read them, too? Remember, he had to have special
goggles.
Well, that story is very simple. A Jew wrote this as fiction one time. And he took it down to the printer, and then he didn't have the money or something happened. He didn't come back to get it, and I guess it was Joseph Smith was that first guy. He came in and saw the printer had this, and he read it and started his religion based on a Jewish piece of fiction. You know?
God, he should have been a car salesman.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's, you know that...
What does God need gold for? He's got the universe.
Well, I like the Jew... Like, remember that story I told about the Christian invited the rabbi to come over to his service, and the rabbi went to service and said, well, that's nice. And then he invited the preacher to come over to the synagogue, and he said, you know... Christian preacher said, well, what did you think of your visit? He said, well, you got one thing wrong here. Well, what's that? He said, well, it's the offering, getting the money. He said, I pass a plate, we fill that plate up, and after everybody leaves, I throw it up in the air, and whatever money goes up and doesn't come down, and when it hits the floor, I keep all that money. Yeah.
Why does God, remember when Satan, Lucifer guarded God's throne? Before he failed?
And you know, that's some of that stuff is so screwy.
I just got in the guard.
I don't. It said Satan's the Lord of this earth. Well, I like this earth. I mean, you know, I don't like a lot of people that are on it, but there's nothing wrong with the earth. The earth is fine. You know, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay here as long as I can, you know.
You know, well, thing is, in Revelation someplace, God's going to destroy the earth and the universe. Wait a minute. If he destroys the universe, where's God going to live? He's going to have a nigger and burn his own neighborhood down?
He's probably got 15 other universes. we're pretty hard on religion, the insurgent. Some of my friends out there that are actually lone wolves are still Christians. And they get upset with me, but I just got to call it the way I see it, you know. And I see church, every church is nothing but a mind control center, and they get you when you're young, and instead of teaching you about your great forefathers and the great Greece and Rome, they take you to church and teach you Jewish nationalism. That's all you get when you're a kid. It's right out. The Old Testament is nothing but Jewish nationalism.
And mythology.
So you start out, you may get a little history in school, but even before you go to school, they're pumping Jewish nationalism into you from the Old Testament. And so then you wonder why there's, you know, people grow up saying, well, I guess that's the way it is. You know, I did. And I was a Christian for a long, long time. Finally said, wait a minute, there's something wrong here.
Definitely something wrong.
My life has been much better. I've been freer. I felt better and everything since I quit that stuff.
Well, William Simpson Gailey wrote the book, Which Boy Western Man.
Yeah.
He actually took his clothes off, nude, because the Bible says some place were to be naked before the Lord. And so I guess God likes nudism, I guess. But,
and then you get arrested.
But he said he was on a ship and he was so burdened and so tore up by this religion, he took that Bible and threw it off the ship. And he said, I felt like a 10-ton weight was taking off my shoulders.
Exactly the way I felt, yeah.
But anyway, there's a... We get some bumper stickers made up, Tom. Sleep in on Sundays.
Right. I just want to, you know, it pains me to think of all the hours I wasted. I could have been out in Mother Nature. I could have been in the woods. I could have been walking. I could have been watching the birds and going to the zoo and everything. All the time I wasted in churches. And that's sad because you figure it out, you know, if you're going to... A couple of hours a week, at least, at church.
Sunday and Wednesday.
And figure it out. All the weeks of decades and decades, you're spending years in church.
I had to go to a Lutheran grade school in church too, and we had to go to Wednesday. We had to spend an hour at church school, and all the Old Testament. I got so. You can't understand that crap when you're 9 years old.
No, I can't understand half of it when I'm 71.
The pastor's daughter was sitting next to me, and I was a little oversexed for my age. And I started flirting with her, petting her.
Oh.
I kissed her on the cheek a couple times. She kind of liked it. I had to go before the classroom. And that preacher told me I was a son of Satan. that I should be boiled. God's going to boil.
The flesh is horrible.
And they hit my hand with rulers until it just bled.
Yeah. And he didn't do anything sexual. You just.
Wait
a minute.
I was a little fast for my age, but Tom, the thing is, I was so afraid that we ran away from home.
Yeah.
We ran home for 3 days. We had a ditch. We made a cave.
Yeah.
And put crackers in there. We were out there for 2 days. We were in there, and they couldn't find us anywhere.
Yeah.
Only about 200 feet from our house.
Yeah.
They even had dogs that couldn't find us.
Wow.
We had coffee grounds. We thought we could grab.
They probably thought some pervert creature had kidnapped you.
We finally got hungry and came back home. My mother immediately put us into a public school.
Yeah.
And I thought, hey, Satan, no wonder Satan rebelled.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still believing that crap, but no wonder Satan rebelled against this God.
Well, the whole secret, though, Satan is just simply a creation of the Christians. I mean, Set and all that goes way back to Babel, Egypt, Babylon, all that kind of stuff. But the modern idea of the devil is a Christian creation.
Right.
So what I can't understand is these Satanists, because they're actually following a creation of the Christians if they're worshiping Satan.
That's it, yeah.
So, I mean, how can you worship and revere Satan when Satan was invented by the Christians? That don't make much sense to me.
Wait a minute. When I ran for mayor of Oklahoma in 92, Governor Keating said that a vote for Dennis Mann is a vote for Satan.
Yeah, that shows you how backward Oklahoma is.
Yeah.
I mean, they wouldn't even say that in L.A. or something. They'd say you're a dirty, rotten racist. But
yeah, a bunch of preachers.
However, when I ran for Congress, there's some Catholic priests I know preached from their pulpit that, you could be excommunicated for voting for Tom Metzger.
You got to be rude.
Yeah, but a whole bunch of people that were Catholics told me that, and they voted for me anyhow, but they risked their eternal soul to vote for Tom Metzger.
I wish I could have made a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Hey, vote for Metzger.
Yeah.
Satan will give you a better deal. One guy talked to me, three t-shirts up, and said, vote for Mann, Satan will give you a better deal. And naturally, I lost it somewhere.
Well, Dennis, we've come down to the wire again. Another great show. We had a lot of fun, and anybody out there that when they hear this show, if we didn't offend you in two shows, stay tuned, because I'll be doing more shows with Dennis as time goes on, and we'll make sure, in fact, write us and tell us what we can do to offend you, and we'll make sure we do it next time.
Tom, if we haven't offended somebody in the last 2 days, we need to retire.
That's right. And
we're going to fire ourselves.
Well, it takes a lot of work to cover all the bases and defend everybody about everything.
But we have fun doing it.
I think we do a pretty good job. You don't hear this in the right wing when they talk to their people. You won't hear this stuff. And you won't hear the Republicans and the conservatives. We don't want to offend anybody. We won't offend anybody. We love everybody. All you racists out there, this is coming down to the end. And Dennis Mahan, star of Stage Screen Radio
Jailhouse
and Interpol. He's going back to the land of Lunkhead today and carry on his devious activities. So, Dennis, it's good to see you.
And keep up the good work, Tom.
Come back anytime. You're welcome in my bunker. Very few people I let in a bunker.
You got a great bunker.
You even slept in the bunker last night.
I slept in the bunker last night.
You got to be a trusted guy.
You better believe it.
Okay, 14 words.
14 words.
And five. If you want to get a letter or any kind of communications to me, to Dennis, just write me or email me, and I'll pass it on to Dennis. So he still can have a little bit of privacy, even though the FBI is all around his house all the time. So we'll talk to you later, and we'll be back tomorrow. Well, I'm not sure when this show is going to be aired, so we're going to be back with you sometime, all right? 14-5.
Well, there you go. That's several years old, that interview. And since that time, Dennis has fallen on some hard times, partially because of a low-life woman that sort of got him involved in something that was not too good. But he's still my friend, and I don't give up on my friends that easily, I'll tell you that. Now, that show had some audio problems in the beginning, and we're just going to leave it in there unless my webmaster can clean it up a little bit. But we did a show the day before, and if I find it around here, because I'm cleaning out a lot of stuff, I'll run that one. But I enjoyed that show. And I'll be back on Moonsday and see if we can't find some more goodies to play.
Every piece of this is man's bullshit. They call this war a cloud over the land, but they made the weather, and then they stand in the rain and say, shit, it's raining!
Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network with your humble host, Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy. This show originates and is being broadcasted live from the Bunker in Warsaw, Indiana. Right next door is Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern. It's a friendly little tavern where friends meet to drink and sometimes eat. Also nearby is Terrible Tommy's Weapons of Mass Destruction Used Equipment Yard, where you can purchase tanks, half tracks, or any other weapon of mass destruction for pennies on the dollar. If you like, Tommy invites you to visit his big website, resist.com, and spend some time up there and look around. You can read news and views, listen to archive radio shows, listings of items to buy, information on where to send you donations, and just a lot of good useful information. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy another show from the Insurgent Radio Network.